Welcome to the 33% podcast. Each week we'll be charting our journey as a business startup and how we're making the most of our working life. It's an honest account of the challenges, successes, and mistakes and misadventures that we have along the way. So last time we talked a bit about what it was like leaving your last job, Gary. Oh, by the way, we didn't introduce ourselves.
Which is terrible. We'll probably get better at this over time.
We should do that. I'm James.
I'm Gary.
And we set up 33%, a business devoted to helping people make the best of their working lives. So yes, as I said, last time we talked about what it was like for you leaving your job for a while. How's it been?
Great. Oh, you want more? Okay.
More would be great.
I suppose that fits the format, really. It's been fun. I think the most interesting thing, obviously, is that when I decided to take this break, we weren't in the middle of a global pandemic. But by the time I actually came to leave, we were. With hindsight, I think it's a great thing because it's given me time at home. It's given me chance to spend a lot more time with the kids, which they've been, you know, it's been great fun. It's been a great experience for everybody. It's different, but I think you have to embrace these things. And I think after 19 and a half years, you need a break. I think that's the thing that I knew I needed at the start. I needed a break. I needed to do something completely different. It gave me time. I've spent time with the kids, obviously, as I said, but I've also been able to do a lot more reading. I've been doing a lot of research. I've generally been trying to get my head around what I might want to do because I didn't really leave Red Eye with a great plan of exactly what I wanted to do. I left Red Eye knowing I needed a break. And then I'd spend the time trying to understand what it was that I actually wanted to do. And that this has given me exactly that. It's given me a chance to look at multiple different things. And in actual fact, it's probably led me to doing more than I expected in terms of the fact that I'm probably doing four different roles right now.
I think that's one of the things I really wanted to get across when we did this podcast is why I wanted it to be honest, because a lot of time you hear about people set up businesses because I had this idea and I was going to do this thing and I could do it better than anyone had ever done it before. But most people, I think, that set up businesses do it sort of organically. They don't necessarily go into it with this plan that's what they want to do. And a lot of what we set up was about just the fact that we had a shared vision of something that we wanted to achieve. And actually it made sense to do that together rather than this idea that we were going to do this thing and we were going to, you know, shake up the scene or whatever else it was that people like to say. So what's it been like now that we're working at 33%? We'll talk a bit more later on, I think, about why we set it up and how that process went. But now you're back, you're working again and you're working for another business, but this time the business is yours. How is that different?
I can't explain properly how different it is, which is terrible because that's the whole point of this podcast. But I will try my best. I think the big thing for me is decision making. I was a CEO of a company, but ultimately still reported into a board, so I still had to run decisions past senior people. But also, I actually still had to check in with people across the business, even though they reported into me, because that is my style. That is, you know, I was never a dictator that just told people what to do. It was a very inclusive business and still is. And I think that's one of the great strengths of it, of Red Eye as a business, is the fact that we involved people in decision making. But of course, with that means that if you want to get on with things, you do have to consult, you do have to discuss. And in the things I'm doing now, there's a lot more of that where I can just get on with it myself, you know, and that does mean getting your hands dirty and doing things that maybe previously you didn't. But actually, that's part of what I'm loving. I'm loving the fact that I can just do things that before I would have had to let somebody else do because it's their job, which sounds completely mad. But, you know, I spent a day just learning how to do Facebook ads. Now, previously, I'd have had to let someone else do that because I'd have been off doing something to do with the board. And also someone was employed to do that job. Whereas now, I can just get on with it. You know, as you know, we discuss an idea and one of us can go off and just get it together. And I think that's probably the thing that I'm enjoying the most in terms of this new freedom. And then obviously balancing my own diary across these different things that I'm now doing.
Yeah, and that's the fun thing. It's learning how to do something. Thinking, like, I'd like to be able to do this thing and then just being able to go away and learn how to do it.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
then
absolutely.
Do it and then test it out and see if it's good. And if it works, then do more of it. And if it doesn't work, never do it again. It's that freedom is great. What about how you're balancing that the work and life balance. We work, I mean, we're all working from home. Most people are working from home. We're locked down again at the moment, so most people are working remotely. But how are you finding the process of running your own business and, you know, living at work?
Living at work, great phrase. I'm finding it, I think I'm finding it easier than if I was working in my previous job, because I constantly feel like I needed to be in touch with everybody. And because there's just the two of us in terms of this particular role, and, you know, as I said, I'm, you know, doing multiple roles really, but in terms of setting up this business, because there's the two of us, it's a lot easier to stay in touch. So actually finding that balance between, you know, spending time together, socially distanced, of course, and working together virtually and just communicating, I think has not been too difficult. I don't think it's been too difficult to balance at all. And of course, doing these other roles, you know, in terms of being a non-exec for a couple of businesses and helping them out and actually doing some writing, I get to control my own time. So actually it's down to me. So as long as I feel confident in balancing my work, it's actually made it much easier, you know. And the great thing is, my wife takes the kids to school in the morning, I pick them up. And it's a thing that I never did before. I was our kids were always the last ones to be picked up at night and the first ones to be dropped off in the morning. And now it gives us the opportunity to spend more time with them, I think, which was one of the keys behind doing this.
Yeah, same. You know, same here. That was a really key part of what we wanted to get, was to improve, not just to help other people improve their working lives, but to improve our own as well, which I think was, you know, we've definitely achieved that. The other thing I'd say is that when you're really enjoying what you're doing, you don't resent that crossover between work and home as well. You don't mind jumping in and doing a couple of bits in the evening. In a way, you almost have to be more disciplined because you are sort of enjoying what you're doing. You find yourself tinkering with Facebook ads in the evening when you know you should probably be just turning off and not doing it. So there's that kind of, it's trying to keep that balance and sort of almost enforce it on yourself, even if it's something you actually enjoy.
Yeah, completely agree. I have probably worked most nights for the last month, but I'm just sitting there in front of the telly and I'm just doing things, as you say, that I'm enjoying, things that are quite fun, whether it's coming up with copy, coming up with blog ideas, or writing some copy for a webinar and stuff like that. They're things that I'm quite enjoying doing. So I don't feel like I'm working. I feel like I'm just doing something that I'm enjoying. I think that is a big difference. When you can enjoy your job, it doesn't feel like work anymore. It feels like something that you don't mind doing. I think that's critical.
Yeah, and I think that's something that a lot of small businesses struggle with, is when it starts off like that. But how do you maintain that, and how do you make sure that it stays fun? Because it should be.
Yes.
It should be. You spend a lot, you know, it's more than just a strap line. You spend so much of your time working that it's too much time to not enjoy what you're doing.
Yes, yes. Okay, so we talked a lot about me. This is obviously the second time that you've done this. You set up a business 11 years ago, a business that's still going along quite successfully. But what do you feel second time around? What have you done differently?
Well, I think that the big difference for me was that when I set up, you know, all those years ago, it was really a product of people saying to me, will you set up a business, please? We'd like to be your customer. Which is a great position to be in. I have a couple of great customers that I've still got today, I love working with, and they wanted me to work with them. So happy days, set up a business. But I built a business around a customer that came to me. And then we just carried on. And just carried on running that business for 11 years, which is great. But this time around, I really wanted to follow what I felt was a more structured approach to the process. So it was to actually have a strategy beforehand, but most importantly, to know your customer at the start. So we looked at that, and some of that came from those customers, the people that we love working with, the people that we know we can have impact for, and built the idea of building a business around finding more of those people and being able to impact more people like that. And that was the focus from my point of view. So it was really just following a process that I didn't do last time, really, which is know your audience, think about what you're doing. I mean, one of the differences is I'm doing a lot more of it myself this time, because that was one of our sort of goals at the very start, was to do it ourselves and to not outsource it and to not bring in designers and not bring in web developers and teach ourselves to do the things, so that we really felt like most small business owners feel when they set up. They don't have you know, when I set up, you know, all that time ago, the benefit I had was I was already working with designers. I already had web developers. I had people, when I needed a website, someone built me a website, you know, and that was the way it worked. So this time around, I'm doing a lot more myself, and I'm enjoying that as well, which is fun.
So I've got a follow-up question. You need to be very careful with this one, because you've been your own boss for the last 11 years, which is lovely, but you're now running a second business where you have a business partner. How different is that? How have you found that experience?
Oof, yeah, that's a tricky one, isn't it?
It's a loaded question.
It's an interesting one, isn't it? It's miserable. No, it's interesting. Yeah, you're right. Because suddenly you are... beholden is the wrong word, perhaps, but you are aware of someone else. Because when you work for yourself, it's just you. You do what you want. You come and go when you want. I always said, like, I love working for myself because it means I could stop work whenever I want. The reality is I never stopped work. I just carried on working all the time. Because, you know, when you work for yourself, you know that every hour you spend working is probably money that you're making. So therefore, it's quite hard to stop working.
Yeah.
But I could. And there's that sort of illusion of free will. Whereas when you're working with someone else, you are aware of the fact that you need to be working because they're working, and it's that balance. It's similar when you've got employees as well, is that kind of feeling. But I would say the best thing, it's the thing that I always missed when I set up the first time round, was having somebody that you're on a level with that you can bounce ideas off, that you can say, hey, what do you think about this? And that's willing to say, no, that's a stupid idea, don't do that. The problem is when you start working with other people and you have employees, good ones do say no, but ultimately you often don't get challenged as often.
Yes, they've got a vested interest in keeping the boss happy.
Yeah. So, whereas in this situation, you have absolutely no interest in keeping me happy.
No, if anything, I think that's very fair.
A lot of what you do is designed to make me sad, but no. We say things, we come up with ideas, and then we do challenge each other on them, and I think that has made everything we've done better so far, because we've really debated stuff that, you know, that we weren't sure about.
If there was any one thing that you could specifically pull out that you feel like 100% have done it better or have enjoyed it more this time around, what would it be?
I think it is that. It's that audience thing. It's the knowing your audience is the thing that I've really enjoyed spending time doing, because we did it. We screwed up. I don't mind admitting that we started out with an audience. We had this great understanding of who we wanted to be our audience. And then we started to drift into this idea of what our product was. And we thought, oh, well, let's actually, this product's a bit more interesting. Let's try and do something like that. And we started to lose sight of who that audience was at the beginning. And, you know, before we got too far down the road, luckily, we stopped and realised, hang on a minute, we've forgotten that fundamental thing. And I think that is a, like, businesses do this all the time, where they get carried away with what they think is that, you know, make things people want or make people want things. It's better to do the thing that people already want than it is to try and think, I've got this great idea for a product, now I'm going to go and try and sell it to people. And I think we did almost drift into that.
Yeah.
But we didn't. We pulled back and we stopped and we thought, no, this is what, you know, this is what it is. And that's why we've kind of focused now on helping people understand their audience, because I think that's fundamentally, that is like the most important thing that you can do when you're starting a business.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that I'm most proud of is the fact that we took that step back. We didn't keep ploughing on just because we'd started on it. And we also, having identified our audience, we talked to that audience and we listened to what they were looking for. And that's partly where, you know, these courses that we're releasing now are based on what our customers want.
And that's the other thing I think as well about when you, one, don't have a boss, and two, don't have any employees, there's no sense of ego about it as well. There's no problem saying, hang on a minute, I think we've messed up here, or we've gone in the wrong direction. We can stop and we can pivot without feeling like you're sort of, you know, flip-flopping on ideas or anything like that. It just is, it's more straightforward, I think.
Yeah, there is no looking around and going, well, if I change my mind again, the staff are going to be looking at me going, oh, well, that guy can't make his mind up. He changes it every 5 minutes. Why do I believe this is the right way?
But it's little stuff as well, like even just things like copy. Like, I know there's examples where something I've written, or, you know, the scripts that we've written for a video, where I probably would have stopped at that point. But because I had someone else to look at it, we pushed it back and pushed back and forward. And ultimately, I know that the end result was way better than it was when I wrote it the first time. But that's probably as far as it would have gone if it was just me working on my own.
Yeah. Now, you asked me a question about work-life balance earlier. I'll ask you a similarish question, but with a slightly different slump, because whilst I am doing a couple of other things, that all of them are just sort of things I'm trying to see what I enjoy the most. You are running now two businesses. You know, Cunning Plan is still going as a very successful business. How are you managing that process successfully of keeping this one business going whilst trying to set up a second one?
Juggling, a bit of plate spinning, that kind of thing. But yeah, it can be challenging, but the beauty of, you know, what we've got with Cunning Plan is I've got a team of really brilliant people. We've got long-standing clients we've been working with a long time, and a lot of my contribution on that is more strategic. It's more, you know, I'm able to jump in and help out with specific decisions, with key meetings, key things like that. We're still doing all that stuff. And the beauty is that a lot of what we do at Cunning Plan is stuff that we want to be able to get out to a wider audience. And that's the thing, that, you know, we've got these larger clients, but ultimately we can service, you know, 5 or 10 clients. That's kind of the limit to the size, you know, based on the size of the agency we are, that's kind of where we're at. Whereas with 33%, that's what we wanted to do, was be able to get out there to loads more people and help more people with the principles and the things that we've learned working for an agency, but in a way that can be delivered for a smaller business. And I think that those two things are super complementary. They really help each other, and I don't think we've had any, you know, any real issues with managing the two different things.
Do you think there's a big difference between the type of clients you're working with in the two different businesses, and is there any benefits to them being different?
I mean, there are differences, of course. I mean, size is the main thing. You're talking about a different sort of scale, really. But the thing is, the principles are the same. And, the larger clients are just as guilty of forgetting about who their audience is, or going too broad with their audience, or trying to please everyone. The downside is that a lot of the time they can't make changes. We talked before about being able to make a change when we decided we needed to make a change. You can't do that in a big business. You can't, if you're just, you know, you're a marketing department and then you've got a load of other people in operations and other things, you can't just go, oh, I've decided we're going to change our target audience this week. It's just not, you know, it's not physically possible.
I've worked with businesses where just to get an email strapline change has to go through 5 levels of sign off.
Yeah.
That would be a whole, that would be a 6-month process at best. I think that's probably being optimistic.
So that's what's kind of fun about working with smaller businesses, is that they do have that ability to look at it and go, hey, we're not going to, you know, we're going to do this differently now. We can stop and we can take a pause and we can reconsider stuff. And I think that's quite exciting.
And we are. And the good thing is we're meeting new brands that we'd never heard of before, who are doing some great things. And one of the things we said at the start is that small businesses can be more fun, more innovative, and more agile. And certainly we're seeing that with the slightly different types of businesses that probably we would never have got to work with in our previous jobs.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So I feel like we're at the point where we need to talk about how we actually got 33% together, which we said we'd save for the next podcast. So we'll do that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that the next, and you know, an interesting thing is how we did set up the business. How did we decide we were going to set up a business? We weren't, you know, you couldn't go to the pub, so we weren't drunk in the pub going, let's go set up a business, which I know lots of those conversations go on.
I would say technically the first time we talked about this was on Zoom, and I definitely had a drink in my hand.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. But I don't think, you know, but we weren't in
the I don't think I was drunk. No. Okay.
But nevertheless, it was an organic process. It wasn't a kind of, anyway, we, I don't want to spoil it. I'm
no,
going to spoil
save
it.
It's
the fun of the next of this conversation.
I believe technically in marketing, that's called a tease.
A tease.
If you are teased, please do come back.
I do hope you are.
Please do come back for the next part. James is going to cut most of this out, by the way, because he hates it when
not.
I start saying innuendos. But we'll come back for the next podcast.
Yes, we will be talking about how we set up, and then after that, we'll probably cover a little bit about what it is to set up a business with a friend. We were friends before we set up a business, and that's something that potentially could go horribly wrong. So how do you do that without causing all sorts of problems and disasters? So yes, please do subscribe. We've a couple of, this is our third episode. There are a couple of others if you fancy listening to those. If you can subscribe on iTunes or you're on Google, We're on Podbean, pretty much anywhere you can find
even Amazon.
Even Amazon, wherever you find your podcasts, you may find the 33% podcast. So yes, please do sign up if you're interested in learning more about what we do. Then check out 33%.co.uk, and we'll see you next time.